Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, I've been chatting with a lot of people, and one thing that is constant and agreed upon is that these markets are extreme in many senses. There's still a lot of fear in these markets, and quite frankly, day to day, hour to hour, we don't even know what the news is going to be or what kind of wild swings we are going to get. I think we hit circuit break three or four times just this week on the markets, and we've seen the VIX already hit historically high levels. I just want to start off by asking you, though, how are you viewing these markets? Are you moving all into cash? Are you out there trying to buy some stuff, maybe bottom fish? What's your strategy right now?
Well, we get stopped out of a lot of things, so we are moving into cash whether we want to or not, right? However, at the same time, I also added inverse funds to hedge, and I also put on some put options. My put options hit, each of them hit both price targets very quickly, which is unfortunate. And right now I'm just waiting for things to calm down before I add options, either put or a call options. I had two inverse funds in one of my services that I exited today just because one wasn't working out. That was the REW, which is the inverse technology fund, because tech isn't taking as much of a beating as some other sectors. But the other one, which was the SKF, worked out great. That's the a double inverse banking fund. It's actually financials. Probably people will yell if I call it banking. Anyway, that did very well. So I just thought going into the weekend, it's the time to exit. One thing that I just to complete answering your question, I'm not buying long positions now, but I'm making shopping lists of things I want to buy. This includes in stocks that have nothing to do with precious, with precious metals, but also things that are specifically precious metals. Because what we saw in the past weeks is a liquidation event. They're extremely rare, but it's when you throw all technical analysis out the window and most fundamental analysis too. And what it is that investors around the world, not just in the U.S., had leveraged positions that were denominated in U.S. dollars. As the margin calls came on those positions, they needed dollars in order to meet those calls, right? And so they had to sell everything, literally everything, things they did not want to sell, including gold and miners. They probably would have hung on to those, but they needed the dollars. That's why we've seen the U.S. dollar soar, is that people have a need for dollars. So that's putting the bid in dollars, even as the Federal Reserve slashes rates. Normally, when the Fed slashes rates, you would expect the U.S. dollar to go down, as would happen with any currency. But in this case, that is not happening because of the demand for dollars around the world. And that demand for dollars, as part of the liquidity event, caused massive selling in everything. Recently, we saw selling in treasuries, which is crazy in this environment, but people had to liquidate. And that's why we saw so much selling across many, many things. Now, this was painful. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah, we have hedge positions, you know, the inverse funds and the puts that did well, but, you know, most things did not. But what this brings us down to is in certain select investments, we are getting close to a buying opportunity. So that's why I make my shopping list. One more thing that I'd like to add, because I've spent the past few days writing a report that's going out to my subscribers called the Coronavirus Financial Survival Guide. And so I've been looking deep into what could happen, what might happen, stuff like that. And I think most of the assumptions about what's going to happen with the U.S. market are just too optimistic. I mean, we had an 11-year bull market that was an everything bubble. Low rates allowed all asset prices to soar. And so we had the pandemic as a trigger event, which is, you know, causing selling across the board. But that's not it. The market had its own problems anyway, which are really entering into this. And so you hear from well, let's see, Morgan Stanley had the most optimistic outlook, which is, you know, like a 6% drop in GDP in the second quarter, but then rebounding like a boomerang, heading right up. Bank of America was more like a 12% drop in the second quarter, and it expects the year to actually see GDP like finish down. Deutsche Bank says that we are headed into the worst recession since World War II. That's what they see. That's my view. And, you can take this for what it's worth. None of them are being bearish enough for two reasons. One is the incompetent and inept actions of the federal government in order to fix this. You know, the U.S. and South Korea both had their first coronavirus case on the same day, January 28th. When you look at the difference at what South Korea did and what the U.S. government did, it's night and day. And yes, they are one-sixth the size we are in population. We also have a lot more resources. We should have handled it much better. And I expect that incompetence to continue compounding the medical problems going forward. The other is, and this is what I don't think the big banks are actually counting on in their forecast for the market, is that though the virus is supposed to really go down in the summertime, we're supposed to have less incidence in the summertime because of the heat, just like the flu, it's supposed to come back in the fall. And so I don't think that's actually figured into their models. So I expect us to have this month-long panic. I expect there then to be some kind of all clear, or at least you can live with it. We'll have to get somewhat back to normal. And then in the fall, I expect things to get worse again. And so that's how I'm planning it. Now, they have these daily press briefings at the White House, which they really shouldn't because the market hates them. And one thing, one of the chief doctors said, this was on March 19th, we are a year away from any vaccine because they can't just whip up a vaccine and then inject people with it. It might be worse than the virus itself. What some of your listeners may not know is it isn't the virus that kills you. It's your body trying to fight the virus that kills you. Your body has such a strong reaction that it destroys your lungs and it builds liquid up in there and you actually drown in your own lungs. That's what happens. So all the cures that they've come up with, all the vaccines have to be tested so they know that it's not going to cause a worse reaction than the virus itself. And so that's why we're a year away from a vaccine. So people should put that into their own plans, both for themselves personally and on a financial basis and on an investing basis. We're a year away from a vaccine. I think when we have news that, yes, the vaccine will be coming on like such and such a date, that will be a turning point for the market as long as they keep giving stimulus to the right people. You may have heard that there's a $1.5 trillion stimulus package that Congress and the Senate are currently trying to work out. Well, yes. But what they really need to do is give money to the low-income people who are losing their jobs right now, the ones that work at restaurants, salons, stuff like that. They need to keep giving them money because if they don't, then this thing could get much worse financially. We could actually see the U.S. economy, I'm not sure if the word is lock up, but it could get much smaller in a hurry. And so that's something else. They always seem to have $1 trillion to help out corporations. They really need to focus on putting money out to regular working folks and small businesses. Those are the things that need the money. So that's my outlook right there.
All right. Yeah, it's a scary time right now. And you know what? The economies are already feeling a hit. And unfortunately, they're going to continue feeling a hit. And what I'm most scared about, too, is just how long these emergency precautions and this self-isolation is going to last. Because, well, if it's only a month, then I think people can do it. But if it does extend further into summer, I think people are going to say enough of this. We're getting outside. We're getting back to our daily life. And we could easily see this thing perk back up again. But still, we've, in terms of economies and markets trying to be stabilized, central banks are already throwing almost everything they have at it, and now governments are joining the fray. It hasn't caused any sort of comfort for the markets. We continue to see these wild swings. Do you see just a general revaluation happening here, whether it comes in terms of actual stock market prices or commodity prices or currencies? Are we heading down that road?
that's extremely hard to judge, because one of the things that was part of the everything bubble was too much liquidity. They kept rates far too low for far too long. Now they are firing off money cannons, not only in the U.S., but around the world. You're seeing it in Europe. You're seeing it in Japan. They are throwing money into the system. You would think that would cause asset prices to inflate. For one thing, gold should go up. I mean, right? I mean, money's just sloshing around. You aren't going to get any kind of interest rate on your bonds anymore. In fact, many countries have like negative interest rates now. That's a perfect environment for gold to go up, as long as there's not another liquidation event. Can we predict liquidation events? No, we cannot. So, you know, I can see why people would be hinky about that too. But it's hard to say. There might be a revaluation, because at some point they have to turn off the spigots, even before all this happened. I mean, we had one agency after another saying the U.S. is on an unsustainable path with its spending. Now, I mean, yeah, this is really throwing a wrench in the works. We compare this to previous, infections, pandemics, stuff like that, that we had before. But we're more vulnerable now than we used to be. For one thing, the U.S. shipped much of its manufacturing base offshores, so we can't even make the masks here that we need, right? And also, it's a more interconnected world. Some people, like, say, up on the border, required going back and forth to Canada. Now they can't. So what's going to happen to their jobs? I don't know. Must be tough for, you know, those truck drivers who are driving things back and forth. That's not going to happen anymore. So, I mean, they can ship cargo, but not people. And so I'm assuming you're going to put it on a automated device to actually get it across there. But it just shows how complicated and bad this is going to be. You're right. People might get sick of this and say, we're going outside anyway. That could cause things to get worse marginally anyway. But what they're trying to avoid by having us all stay inside, and I'm sure you've seen these same charts, is they don't want it to get so bad that it is like in Italy, where they simply don't have enough hospital beds and like ventilators to go around. Because if too many people get too sick too quickly, that's exactly what happens. They'd like to flatten that big mountain of like rising caseloads to a much smaller hill. So that's why we all have to stay inside, or at least not mix with other people. I and my dog still go for walks in the neighborhood. But, you know, otherwise we're like self-isolating. We're like working long distance. We use Skype. We use Zoom. We use stuff like that. And I'm sure everyone else is too. I saw a estimate that one third of the U.S. could work remotely if it had to. Maybe it's going to come to that. Maybe we'll find ways to make other people work more remotely as well. Maybe most restaurants will go to takeout only, which really lowers your risk. And so we might see big changes in society. America might not be the same after this, you know, because it's a more interconnected world. If this happens once, it can happen again. We're going to have to guard against that. So there's a lot of unknowns here. I can see why everyone's scared. You know, it worries the heck out of me too. And I wrote a book called The Ultimate Suburban Survivalist Guide, How to Prepare for Any Emergency. Well, you know what? This scares me too. So it's a good thing I wrote that book, because I already had my masks on hand along with a lot of other stuff. But it just shows that no matter how much you prepare, something can still come along and kick you right in the teeth. And so that's what we have to be really wary of, is not only this time, but what could happen next time. I think American society has to change, and not in ways we're going to like.
All right, Sean. Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we might be going down those roads of a big change coming. But first things first, let's see how long everyone's going to be locked up at home and how long they stay locked up at home, because we really don't have any clarity as to what will give us the all clear for these self-quarantine measures to dissipate. But right now, these markets remain crazy and very volatile, but it gives us a lot to talk about. Sean, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time. I hope you have a safe and healthy weekend.
You stay safe, my friend. Have a good one.